We're in Nesivos Shalom in Parshat Vayechi. We are here at the Greenwald's house in Chutz La'aretz in Cedarhurst. Thank you so much for hosting us with wonderful alum and others from many different places. Yerusha Shem, let's learn a little bit of from Nesivos Shalom. We're in Parshat Vayechi. None of you have the sheets, so you have to trust me that I'm reading what's inside. But we're on page Shin, the first piece of Parshat Vayechi. Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shivasrei shana. The Yaakov lived in Eretz Mitzrayim 17 years. Says the Nesivos Shalom, quoting from the Chumash, Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shva asrei shana, Vayihi yimei Yaakov shnei chayav sheva shanim v'arba me'ot shana. Yaakov lived in Eretz Mitzrayim for 17 years. After he goes and he reunites with Yosef in this week's Parsha, he then stays and remains in Mitzrayim for the last 17 years of his life. And the total years of Yaakov's life were 147 years. Hamafarshim amdu al kach. So the Mafarshim point out, l'shema kadva Torah kedoshah sheYaakov chay b'Mitzrayim shvasrei shana. Why does the Torah go out of its way to tell us that Yaakov specifically lived in Mitzrayim for 17 years? Why is that information important? Harei kvar mifarash bekatuv shekasher yarad Mitzrayim haya ben mea v'shalshim shana. Meaning, first of all, it seems superfluous in and of itself. And even if it wasn't superfluous, we already learned in last week's parsha that he went there when he was 130. So anybody who can figure out that the difference between 130 and 147 is 17, which was not me, but anybody who could do that, so you know he was there for 17 years. So you can first of all understand it from the Chumash itself without it having told us that, and also why it tells that in the first place. Then we automatically know that he was in Mitzrayim for 17 years. What does the Torah come and teach us with this? So he says in the next paragraph, we can understand this inyan. Demiromaz kan inyan yiridato shel Yaakov leMitzrayim, that this is hinting to Yaakov's going down to Mitzrayim. Al pima deita besfarim hakadoshim, that the Sfarim hakadoshim say, dinyan galut Mitzrayim haya kedei levarer ulehaalot et nitzotzot hakedusha shayusham. When I skim the piece like I always do, I never learned it beforehand because I want to learn it together b'chavrusa with you all. But I always skim it first to see like what are the major topics he's going to hit on. And when I saw this, I was like, this is what we need to learn together. It's the first piece on the parsha we need to learn together. He says here that the idea of Galut Mitzrayim is, what was the purpose of it? Livarer, to sort out, to clarify, lahalot, and to raise up the sparks of Kedusha, the holy sparks that were in Mitzrayim. That when we that out there in Galus, there are holy sparks. And that's what he's going to talk about. And I think that, you know, it's very rare, and I'm totally comfortable with that I'm giving Shir in Chutz La'aretz, Memento Yerushalayim for a reason, but as we sit here in Chutz La'aretz, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of us in our own way put us here for a reason, right? Whether you are here now for college, for work, whether you have desires to go to Eretz Yisrael, you should, or you don't yet have desires to go to Eretz Yisrael, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're also stuck in Chutz La'aretz because you're in Shana Aleph and can't get back, whether you got sent out by another institution in order to recruit, whatever the reason that you're here for, when you're in Galus, and when we're in end of the day, is we're in a reality of Galus here. When we're in a reality of Galus, why are we here? And so I saw that he was going to be, I don't know exactly what he was going to say, but he was going to talk about this. I was like, this is what we need to talk about. So he says that the idea of Galut Mitzrayim, that the whole purpose of the exile to Mitzrayim itself is to clarify and to raise up the holy sparks that are in exile. What does that mean? Umeva'er b'sefer be'er mayim chayim, the b'sefer be'er mayim chayim says, shetzchilata tikun shel Galut Mitzrayim, that the beginning of the tikun, the beginning of the fixing of the exile of Mitzrayim, that was already started by the Avos. Already the Avos were paving the way for fixing the reality of Golus, for fixing what we need to fix in Golus. In what way? Asher salalua taderek, they paved the way. Libnei Yisrael ha'atidim laredet Mitzrayim, for Bnei Yisrael who were going to go down to Mitzrayim. Shlo yishke'u b'tum'at eretz Mitzrayim ervat ha'aretz. They wouldn't totally sink into the tumah of Chutz La'aretz. That they wouldn't sink into the tumah of Mitzrayim. Already the Avos paved the way. Ukedita bechazal, as Chazal say, Shamitzrim hayush tufezima, uvmakoma tame hazeh haya Yisrael shechim liyot. That Mitzrayim, that we know from many, many different sources, that Mitzrayim was the source, is the primary place of Arayos, of the worst tuma that there is, of tuma on the level of issues between ish lisha, issues in Arayos, between guys and girls, between men and women. That was what Mitzrayim was about. When the Torah goes and the Torah lists all of the illicit sexual relationships in Parshat Achrimot, in Parshat Arayot, it opens up by saying, like the ways of Mitzrayim, don't do. That was what Mitzrayim was all about. And so much as we're about to transition into Sefer Shmot and the actual Galut and the struggle in Mitzrayim, keep your eyes open in the beginning of next week's, in 2 weeks from now, in 2 weeks Parsha, in the beginning of Sefer Shmot, keep your eyes open. The whole beginning there you see is this push and pull between the fact that Mitzrayim wants us to get focused on the moment, to force us into living in the moment, even if it means backbreaking labor, to be focused on the physical moment of the labor itself. They can't get us to focus on the pleasures of the moment. And you watch it in the Pesukim, every time that Mitzrayim tries to push us into the moment and let us forget about the future, the ultimate goal, what happens? We respond by having more kids. We respond by just increasing tremendously. Why? We respond by no, focusing only on creating a reality of purity and family and connectivity and focusing life energy on producing fruit and producing the future. That's what it's all about. That's the struggle against Yisrael that starts with Yosef himself, right? Yosef becomes Yosef HaTzadik. What's the moment that makes Yosef Yosef HaTzadik? When Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim and he's challenged with Eshet Potiphar, who she herself is the embodiment of Mitzrayim, trying to pull Yosef into the reality of Arias. That's the whole struggle in Mitzrayim. And so Mitzrayim was this terrible reality of Tumah. Ve'im hayu noflim chas v'shalom b'klipa hazot, kfar lo hayu chalim lehichaletz misham. That if Klal Yisrael lo alenu, if Bnei Yisrael would have gone down into that reality of the Tumah of Mitzrayim, there would have been no way out. Im kena avos hakadoshim, hichniu k'tzat tokef haklipa. The avos go down first. The avos were sent down first in order to break down the tum'ah of Mitzrayim a little bit, to break down that tum'ah of Arayos a little bit, in order that we'd be able to survive it, to overcome it, and then eventually go back into Geula. Kadesh Yuchlu Yisrael Latzid Misham B'Shalom, that we'd be able to come out in peace. Umikoch Zeh Ayu Gidurim Sham B'Arayos. And that's how we were able to keep a safeguard against Arayos, even in this source of Arayos of Mitzrayim. And he says, "V'zeh haya yiridat Avraham v'Sara l'sham." That's why Avraham and Sarah had to go down. It's a crazy thing. There's so much to talk about with it. But the beginning of Lech Lecha, right? We always talk about it. What's the first thing said to the first Jew? And there's so much Torah on this. That the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham is Lech Lecha. To go. And what does Lech Lecha mean? It's to go for yourself, to yourself, with yourself. What's going on there? Fine. But basically he says, bottom line is, go to the land that I will show you. You're like, wow, this is going to be a huge journey of Avraham to Eretz Yisrael. He's in Eretz Yisrael like three psukim later in the same paragraph. He arrives very, very quickly. The crazier part is that in the next paragraph in Chumash, there's a famine and Avraham's got to leave Mitzrayim right after he gets there and go down to Mitzrayim. And there's so much of Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, so much of him paving the way there, to be able for us to understand what we're going to go through in Mitzrayim and how to be able to survive Mitzrayim, and also making his own tikkunim already, fixing Mitzrayim a little bit so we can survive and get out of there. He says, that was Avraham and Sarah going down to Mitzrayim. Shem tiknu sham tikkunim kadei sheYisrael yuchlu achar kach lehachazik sham ma'amad. That he was fixing Mitzrayim a little bit, bringing a tikkun to Mitzrayim, so that when Klal Yisrael generations later would end up going to Mitzrayim, that we would be able to survive it and to be able to come up and out of it. That the tikkun there wasn't specifically, it was specifically on who? Not even on Avraham. Doesn't get enough airtime. Sarah was the one who did the tikkun there. Sarah was the one who made the tikkun in Mitzrayim. She goes down and she says that she's Avraham's sister, and Paro takes her. And she withstands the arayos of Mitzrayim on the level of Paro taking her. Through her purity, through her kedusha, through a Ruach HaKodesh, her connection to a Kodesh Baruch who protects her because she's Sarah Imenu. And she withstands that. She refuses to give in that level. Shamru Chazal say, Ki Paro Atzal Atet La Kol Hon Shebaolam. Paro promised her the world, and he was the leader of the not-so-free world at the time, but he was the leader of the world at the time. He promised her everything. He said, stick with me, marry me, be one of my wives, I don't know what's going on there, but like, stick with me and I'll give you whatever you want. Vali Deze, top of the next page. Vali Deze. Shema'anabo, that she refused him. Hichniak tzatata klipa. It started to break down a little bit, the klipa of Mitzrayim, the shell of Mitzrayim, the tum of Mitzrayim. Sarah, it's brought down that Sarah was the one who purified Mitzrayim for the women. As we already mentioned, he's going to say, and it was Yosef who purified it for the men. But what Sarah Aminu did there was tremendous, and she was what kept the purity of Mitzrayim for the women and paved that way. What Sarah did there was tremendous. Top of the next page. V'achar kach yarad l'sham Yosef. Then Yosef went down much later on. Shetiher v'tikena tazuamaha nora'a shal Mitzrayim, that he purified the impurity of Mitzrayim. Ervata aretz, when the brothers come down, Yosef himself says, you came to spy out the land. And the lashon that Yosef uses is, ervata aretz. You came to see the ervata aretz, which literally means the nakedness of the land, which means to come and spy out the land. But he's already hinting at the fact that no, the erva, that it's a land of erva, it's a land of sexual immorality. V'ichnisham koach kedusha, and he brought kedusha to Eretz Mitzrayim. K'mo shamar ha-katuv, as the pasuk says. V'hi k'dabra ilav yom yom, that day in and day out, she was trying to tempt him. V'ita, and the Medrash says, she'bechol yom v'yom hayat tzarich l'mesiras nefesh. It was daily mesiras nefesh. And you got to understand, think about, in addition to the fact that yes, he was holy, and yes, he was kadosh, and yes, no matter what, he was never going to give in. But like, not to humanize, not to bring Yosef down to our level, but to humanize it a little bit. Yosef was what? Yosef was the most favored child in Yaakov's home. But he just got sold down as a slave in Mitzrayim. There was no future. There was no marriage. There was no family. There was no connectivity. He was a slave. And this beautiful, affluent woman, day in and day out, says, be with me. All she wants is him. It wouldn't take much for him to just give in. And there was no, it wasn't, he was like, no, I want to date a good from Jewish girl. There were no from Jewish girls in Mitzrayim, he was the only Jew in Mitzrayim. There were no other girls that were accessible to him, and she desperately wants to be with him. Even on a human level, kal vachomer, that he's Yosef and saying, no, I'm going to fight against the arrivals of Mitzrayim. Day in and day out. V'shafach damo b'chol yom hazeh. He mamish, it was every day he had a fight with his life to be able to refuse her day in and day out. Then came the biggest test. When it was just the two of them alone in the house, and she mamish throws herself at him, and she grabs him, and he leaves his he leaves his shirt behind. He runs out of the house. He mamish broke the tumah of Mitzrayim a little bit through doing that, of all of Mitzrayim. And that's why he was there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Avram and Sarah there. They were doing fine in Mitzrayim. Who brought a famine to Egypt? God. Who sent Yosef down to Egypt? God. And Yosef himself understands that. We saw in last week's parsha, we'll see in this week's parsha, when the brothers go to him and they're freaking out because they think that Yosef is going to take revenge on them. He says, no. You've got to deal with your sins. That's fine. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me down to pave the way. That's why I understand that that's why I'm here. You need to make peace with God because you sinned in the way that you sent me here. But I've made peace with you and with God because I know that God needed me here. He understood the tikkunim that he was doing there, the fixing that he was doing there. That's why he was in Mitzrayim. That they were able to be strong there in the entire exile in Mitzrayim. Ukemamar Chazal say, Sarai imenu yardal Mitzrayim v'gadra atzma mina erva v'nigdera kol anashim b'zchuta. As we mentioned before, I must have seen this from him quoting the Midrash in the previous year. But that the Midrash says explicitly, Sarai imenu went down to Mitzrayim and she protected herself in Arayos, and because of her, all of the women that were in Mitzrayim when Bnei Yisrael came down were protected. And Yosef yardal Mitzrayim v'gadra atzma mina erva v'nigdera Yisrael b'zchuto. And it was in Schus that all the men were protected when they went down to Mitzrayim. They paved the way. And this is also why Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim. Lahagbir at koach ha-kedusha, to bring out the kedusha. Because Yaakov Avinu, as he talked about in many previous pieces, previous years or previous times. This year, we talked about that what Yaakov is about, the reality of what Yaakov is about, that Yaakov is kulo kedusha. That's his whole reality. That Yaakov is about. Is about if you take away the yud, which is everything is going back to the yud, it's going back to the source and what the yud is all about. But akev, what is the akev about? Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar. The reality of Yaakov is elevating the physical, is going beyond the halacha and elevating everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when I'm just in the realm of mutar, even when I'm just in the realm, when I've surpassed the realm of halacha and now everything that's in front of me is mutar. There's no specific mitzvah to do at this moment. How do I elevate this moment and dedicate this moment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though there's nothing specifically that I have to do right now? That was Yaakov Avinu. Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar. Elevating even that which is mutar. Elevating even that which is beyond the halacha, which is true Kedusha. What's Kedusha really about? What's Kedusha all about? Kedusha is about totally and completely committing to one thing. That's why when we get married, it's called Kiddushin, Bashatam Musachar Bekarov. Right? That's gonna throw it in. That's why, right? That's why it's called Kiddushin. You got time. That's why it's called, but you all don't. That's why it's called Kiddushin. Kiddushin means what Kiddushin is saying that in that moment, Tosos bring this out in the Gemara in Kiddushin on the first Amud. Tosos bring this out. Is that what is Kiddushin? Is that Kiddushin means is just like when I say something is hektesh, that it belongs exclusively to the Beit HaMikdash. What the bond of Kiddushin is saying that the woman is saying, I am giving up connecting to anybody else and exclusively giving that right of connectivity to you. That's the bond of Kiddushin because it's Kiddusha. So what is Kiddusha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a complete commitment of connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what real Kiddusha is. Kiddusha isn't keeping the mitzvot. That's being a Jew. That's following halacha. What's real Kiddusha? Kiddusha is that once I've already made sure that I'm not violating the lotases, and once I've made sure to fulfill the assays, and in this moment there's no specific mitzvah on me, now it reveals who am I really? Did I get through fulfilling the halacha so I could get back to myself and do my thing? Or am I truly committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now that I've done all my responsibilities, it doesn't matter. I'm lovesick for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Rambam writes. I'm lovesick for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so, of course, I'm still thinking about you because all I want to do is connect to you. Why would I want to do anything else? He's Kulo Kedusha. Yaakov is Kedusha. That's why the main Parsha of Yaakov, and there are so many Parshas of Yaakov Avinu, one of the main Parshas of Yaakov Avinu, Parsha of Vayetze, right? Yaakov and Esav are fighting over the brachas and toldot. Then Yaakov runs away. Then we get the story of Yaakov, Vayetze. What happens to Vayetze? Think about it on this level. Yaakov leaves home, searches for a wife, struggles with it, gets married to four wives, not recommended, gets married to four wives, causes a lot of problems, a lot of shalom bias problems there, right? He gets married, has kids, then we got the spotted, speckled, and striped sheep. So he makes a living, and then goes back home. If you think about it, it's like, that's the story of every like Jewish schlub that ever lived. Like, I don't understand, like, why did that make the Torah? Get married, have kids, make a living, and like, do well in Chutz La'aretz, then hopefully take, you know, now that you've made a living, so retire in Eretz Yisrael. Like, that's like what kind of story is that? And the Sfarim, all, we're not going to talk about that, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this here now, but there's pieces that we've done in the past, and the Sefer Shalom talks about it, all the Sfarim talk about it. No. Why is that the Parsha of Yaakov Avinu? Because Yaakov Avinu, I don't care, the Torah's not interested in telling us about all of the Torah that he learned, about all the mitzvahs. No. That Yaakov Avinu, who is Kedusha, if you read Parshat Vayetze, and you understand that he's Kulo Kedusha, he's going into Chutz La'aretz. Yaakov Avinu is teaching us how to go into Golus. He was the first one to really go into Golus in that way. He gets sent out of Eretz Yisrael and he goes to live in Beis Lavan. And how do I go and take all of that Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and all of that Kedusha of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all the Torah of Eretz Yisrael that I've learned? How do I go then and go into Chutz La'aretz and I date B'Kedusha and I get married B'Kedusha and I have kids B'Kedusha so much that I produce the 12 Shvatim of Klal Yisrael and I do business B'Kedusha? That everything that I'm doing, it looks like what everybody else is doing. But everything that Yaakov is doing in that parsha is bringing out that yes, the goal is to take everything that I learned, the years that he was in Yeshiva Shem Va'Ever, the years that he was there and didn't sleep. How do I then, the Torah doesn't even talk about it. How do I then go and take that and bring it in to Chutz La'aretz? Not for everybody, but if I'm here, to bring it into Chutz La'aretz. And to bring out the Kedusha here and everything in my life that I'm doing, in my secular studies, in college, in graduate school, in the work that I'm doing out in the world, wherever I am in life. How do I bring out that Kedusha when I'm dating? Bring out that Kedusha when I get married? Bring out that Kedusha that I'm still totally focused singularly on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Kedusha. That's real Kedusha. And that's what he's saying here. That's what Yaakov's doing, goes to Mitzrayim. This is not different Gullus, right? That was the Gullus in Beis Lavan. This is the Gullus now of going on to Mitzrayim. Lagbir et koach HaKedusha, to bring out the Kedusha. And that's the opposite. Kedusha is the opposite of Arayos. Right? The pasuk which teaches us the core pasuk of Kiddush is Kiddushim to you, Kikadosh Ani Hashem Elokechem, the first pasuk of Parsha Kiddushim. Rashi on the spot, and there's more to talk about here and different opinions, but Rashi on the spot, he says, what is Kiddushim to you? Without blinking an eyelash, Prushim min ha'arayot min ha'avera, stay away from arayos. Where does he get that from? So first of all, he gets it from Smichat HaParshiot, because the Parsha of all the arayos is the last Parsha Nachremot. And then the next pasuk is Bikadosh. So he says, so what does it mean Bikadosh? To be the opposite of everything you just saw in the last paragraph, which was Arayos. Those two, there's a lot more to say there, but those two for sure are contrasted. Because what is Arayos? It's the opposite of everything we just said Kedusha is. Kedusha means I'm focused only on one thing. And first of all, Arayos is the opposite. Arayos is when I'm connecting to whoever I want, whenever I want, as haphazardly as I want, because I'm not connected to any of these people that I'm connected to. I'm really just selfishly connected with myself and using the other person. I don't really care about anybody else. There's no commitment, and certainly not to one person. That's Arayos. On a deeper level, I'm definitely not committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if I was lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, then I'm going to get married because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to get married, and I'm going to bring Kedusha into that marriage because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to get married and have kids and have a family. And that's part of my Avodas Hashem. But the opposite of that is instead of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connecting to random people that I'm not allowed to connect to according to the Torah, and violate that connectivity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the process. It's a really sharp contrast, and it's a really deep thing to understand, that one of the reasons why Arayos is so problematic and so deep, on whatever level a person's holding, whether we're talking about Lo Alinu, full-fledged Arayos and Isurei Kares, whether we're talking about issues of Negiya, whether we're talking about issues of how much we talk with people of the opposite gender, whether we're talking about issues, whatever a person's holding in their life, that a continued work, and we all have to work whatever level we're on, we're I'm saying I'm recording, I'll say it in this house, I apologize. Like, we're living in Mitzrayim. I mean, this is, the outside world is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is in full force in our day and age. And the Arayos of Mitzrayim is certainly in full force in our day and age. You pass by, whether it's passing by billboards or you're going on the internet and you have ads that are popping up or whatever it is, like whatever you are in life, meaning like the world is just kulo erva, it's kulo Arayos. But in any event, but the idea there is that wherever level we're holding, to constantly fight against that Arayos, wherever we're at, what it means is really, is consistently denying the desire to connect with more than just a HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not be singularly focused or committed to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And instead say no, even though I may want that immediate instant gratification on whatever level it may be, whether it's physical or emotional, it doesn't matter. I'm saying, no, I'm committing myself singularly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's Kedusha. Because I want to be Kadosh. Because I want that singular relationship. That's Kedusha. And to do that in the day and age that we live in, do that in a day and age where, I'm sure not in this home, everything's Kadosh in this home, where I've spoken to many students, where you have parents who like tell their kids that like, if you're Shomer Negiyah, like you're crazy, what's wrong with you? Like, be normal, like, you know, and like the people, I have students alone who want to be Shomer, and their parents like yelling at them, don't be Shomer, what's wrong with you? You're crazy. Like, we live in a world where like even parents don't necessarily support that. Certainly the world thinks that you're crazy. What do you mean you won't high five me? Like, what's wrong with you? What's the problem with you? Right? If you've been trying to be Shomer Negiyah, you know, and certainly when a person goes and they start to date and the tremendous struggles of maintaining that focus on Kedusha in the dating years, when you meet somebody that you think you might want to marry, or when you're engaged and you're sure you're going to marry them, and to be strong and to maintain those boundaries, when the world again doesn't promote that, even amongst a firm reality, it's a challenge, let alone people who are engaged in whatever co-ed activities that can lead to, you know, many, many unfortunate situations that might be out there in whatever stage of life you might be at. The struggle is tremendous in a way that it never has been previously. Never, ever has been previously. The access to it, the acceptance of it, the psychological studies that prove that it's healthy, all the garbage that goes on out there. To say, no, I deny it because I believe in Torah, I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I want is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is what Kedusha is. And as somebody who chooses to live up to being a Ben Melech and a Bat Melech, I commit myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to be Kadosh, and that's committing myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all realms, and dafka fighting on this realm of Arayos, and choosing to be Kadosh in a world that's Tameh. That's living in the image of the Avos. That's living in the image of the Imahos. That's following in the footsteps of Avram and Sarah and Yosef and Yaakov Avinu. That's what it really means to be part of Bnei Yisrael. Yaakov is Yisrael. To be part of Bnei Yisrael. And say, no, this is what I'm committing myself to. Dafka in Mitzrayim. Dafka in Chutz La'aretz. Dafka in Galus. I don't care what they say. I'm committing myself to this because it's right, and because it's good, and because it's wholesome, and because it's holy, and because it's Kadosh. And I want to be Kadosh. I demand that of myself. I want that for myself. It's not, and that's what we're getting from Yaakov. You know. I didn't mean to go on such a long tangent. The avod of our times. At Koach HaKedusha, Lachnia Godol Tumat Mitzrayim. Again, he went down to bring the Kedusha and to break down the Tum of Mitzrayim. V'zimru mazmar katuv, and this is hinted to in our pasuk. Vayichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. That Yaakov was living in Eretz Mitzrayim, Shvasri Shnai, lived there for 17 years. Dishvasrei, so many people bring this out. That why? What's the significance of the 17 years? Dishvasrei b'gematria tov. That 17 is the gematria of tov. That this was, these were the good years of his life. And there are many drashot on what it means that these were the good years of his life. On the simple shot that he basically suffered his whole life. He struggled with Esav in the womb, and then all his time in his parents' home, and then he ran away because his brother wanted to kill him, and he ended up in Beis Lavan, and then came back and was like, okay, now I can take it easy, and then Yosef gets thrown into the pit and he thinks he's dead. His whole life was difficult, and the only 17 good years of his life were his last 17 years on a pshat level. But what is he saying here on a deeper level? Disheva tshasre gematria tov, that 17 is a gematria of tov. Hamore al tikun begam bris kodesh, which is hinting to fixing these areas of arayos. Because what does it mean that these were the years of Tov? He's bringing out a deeper level. Tov in contrast to Ra. And what's the biggest Ra that there is? The biggest Ra that there is when we make mistakes in these areas of Arayos. That's the biggest Ra in the world, our issues of Arayos. As it says, Vayi er b'chor Yehuda ra b'nei Hashem, that a few parshas ago, Yehuda had three sons. And the first two sons, Er and Onan, die. Because they did a ra be'enei Hashem. And the Mefarshim bring out, it's pretty clear from the Pesukim, but the Mefarshim certainly bring out that the issues that they were involved in were issues of a lack of appropriate behavior in the realm of Arayos. And that costs them their lives. And that's what gives Er his name. What happens if you flip the letters of Er? What do you get? Ra. He was Ra. He brought out a reality of Ra in a lack of commitment to Kedusha. As did Onan, and they both died because of it. So the opposite of Ra is Tov. And the opposite of Arayos is Kedusha. Yaakov is bringing out the Kedusha Mitzrayim. 17 years. Tov. The opposite of Arayos is bringing out Kedusha Mitzrayim. Kimo Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says. Sorry, V'tikun HaBegamim Nikrim Tov. And fixing these things is called Tov, as the Pasuk says. Imru Tzadik Ki Tov. That a Tzadik is Tov. And what a Tzadik is all about. Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef's whole Midah is this Midah. Yosef's whole reality is fighting against Arayos. And the Tzadik is Tov. Tzadik is bringing out Kedusha in these areas. That fixing this mitzvah is called Tov. That's what's the reality of Tov. And through Yaakov living in Mitzrayim, Shvas Reishana, specifically 17 years, Kiminyan Tov, the Gematria of Tov, he was able to break down the Tov of Mitzrayim a little bit. So that we all of Klal Yisrael would be able to go down there. And be able to protect themselves in Arayos. It's crazy. There's a whole story of the Mikhalel later on in Chumash. And it's brought out that she was the only woman who had a relationship with a Mitzri man. They lived in the land of Arayos, and we have the story in Chumash of the one Jew who failed even a little bit in Arayos. And the story there itself is complicated. We know the one person. They lived in the land of Arayos, not a single Jew. Maybe one. How did they do that? Avram Avinu, Sarah Aminu, Yosef HaTzadik, Yaakov Avinu, all paving the way in Mitzrayim. If not for them paving that way and then us succeeding in that, we would have been lost in Mitzrayim forever. And therefore the Torah tells us that Yaakov was there for 17 years to teach us what it means that Yaakov went to Mitzrayim. That he was there for 17 years. The amount of Tov. To fix the Ra and bring out a little bit of the Tov, a little bit of that Kiddusha even in Mitzrayim. And all of this, and because of all of this, that was why we were able to succeed and able to survive being in the Galut of Mitzrayim. Next paragraph. And then we have to understand what it means that Klal Yisrael is specifically going down to Mitzrayim. That wasn't included in Brit Ben Abitarim. Meaning, in Brit Ben Abitarim, God tells Abraham, your descendants will go to a land that's not their own and be enslaved there for, and eventually come out. But he doesn't say they're going to go to Mitzrayim. There's no identification of Mitzrayim at that time. The fact that it was Mitzrayim was not included in Brit Ben Abitarim. Shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeAvram, again, like we just said, the Pasuk says, God says to Avram, Yadoa Teida, no, ki ger yiyeh zaracha be'eretz lo lahem, that your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. Va'avadum, and they'll be enslaved there. V'lo ne'mar b'mitzrayim. It doesn't say Mitzrayim. Ela b'stam eretz lohem. It says in the land of Zion. That could have been anywhere. U'madua b'chara Kadosh Baruch Hu dafka b'mitzrayim. Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu specifically choose Mitzrayim? Makora tumah lemakom galutam. Specifically, Mitzrayim, the source of tumah for where they went into exile. Achim kvar nitba'er b'makom acher, as he explains elsewhere. Etzem inyan galut. What is galut really about? Why did Klal Yisrael have to go into exile at all? I mean, you think about it, the way that we think about Galus, the way we think about exile, is what is exile? When we sin, so we get thrown into exile, so we fix ourselves, then we can come back. But who went down to Mitzrayim? Yaakov, the Shifteka, their 70 family members, the 70 people who went down to Mitzrayim in last week's Parsha, they were Kodesh Kadashim. There's no way that the 70 people went down to Mitzrayim in last week's Parsha, Yaakov and the Shvatim and their families, went down because they sinned. That's not why they went into Golus. So how do we understand that? Why were they going into Golus at all? Why was there Dukiyah Golus? They didn't do anything wrong. Umadua Higiyah and Yan Galut, why did they go into exile? Elas, he says, top of the next column. Shemashmaut gzeirat brit ben abitarim haita, that the meaning of this of the decree of brit ben abitarim was shehakadosh baruch hu amar la'avram, God was telling Avram, shim birtzono shebana v'yu am anifchar, that if you want your children to be the chosen people, Avram, if you want your people to become Klal Yisrael, v'ru'uyim lema'amar aniskav shakabat ra, and you want your children, your descendants, to deserve to get to Har Sinai and receive the Torah, if that's what you want. Alehem la'avor kodem lakach zikuch al yedei va'avadum v'anu otam. They have to go through a purification process called the exile in Mitzrayim. She's dakecha chomer shalehem. They have to go through an exile that's going to purify their physicality. Ki af shem gedoshim v'torim, even though they're kadosh and tahor, we don't have to translate the words. Even though they're kadosh and tahor, mikol makom nitonim hem megufa chomeru, at the end of the day, we're still in a physical body. In order to get to Har Sinai, the Kabbalah is the Torah, and to receive the Torah, alehem la'achnia tachomer, they have to break down that physicality. V'zeya al yedea galut hamachnia etachomeriut. It's galus that breaks down our physicality. She'az yu re'uim li'udam. Then it'll be proper for them to reach their destiny. V'nekol yanei hachnia tachomer v'tarata midot li'im b'midat yisod. So first of all, that's what part of galus is all about. Going to Golus is breaking down that physicality. Going back to Golus is building a beautiful home, even in Chutz La'aretz, with the desire to get to Eretz Yisrael, but building a beautiful home in Chutz La'aretz and saying, okay, it's a Saturday night, what am I using my home for? I'm saying, no, it's Saturday night, I'm using my home to open up and we're having a shir in our house. We're going to learn Torah Motzei Shabbos in our house. That's building a bias in Golus and saying, no, I'm not going for the physicality of the exile, I want the ruchnius in the exile. It's going and making sure that even though you're out of seminary, however many years you're out of seminary, however many years we're out of seminary in yeshiva, right? However many years you're out of seminary, I know it's like 15 or 20 for you. However many years you're out of
seminary. My mother didn't let me go.
So we're doing it now. We got a little seminary now. So however many years that we're out of seminary or Jewish day school, whatever it is, when we go into a reality of galus, that we're able to break down that physicality. That even though, I mean, listen, we're feeling it. The physicality here is much better. The physicality here is great. Trust me, I'm bringing suitcases of stuff back for my kids and for my family. You know, that's what we do. The reason we sign up to go on recruitment trips is because then we get to come back with a suitcase of American stuff, right? That's the only reason that we would ever come. Meaning the gashmius here is good. But when we come here, it's to subjugate. It's even though the physicality here is good, even though the physicality in Chutz La'aretz is good, is to dafka in that reality, to subjugate that, to deny that, to recognize that that's the tafel, that that's secondary, and to despite the tremendous challenges of the physicality of Chutz La'aretz, to say no, I choose to be a ruchni being. Through the challenge of the physicality of Chutz La'aretz, through the challenge of the physicality of exile, by denying that, we allow our neshama and our ruchnius to express itself in a way that it's, again, it's more powerful in Eretz Yisrael, because that's always the goal, but it's not challenged in Eretz Yisrael the way that it's challenged in Chutz La'aretz. And to recognize that this time in our lives, however long it may be till we get back to Eretz Yisrael, that this time in our lives in exile, in Galus, that part of what we're doing here is to, yes, experience the physicality of Galus and the lack of inherent ruchnius in Galus, and to fight that fight to deny it, to be able to, again, have the beautiful home, to have the great car, to have the amazing food, whatever it may be, to have those things, and maybe even to, yes, bring them into my life and have them be a part of my life, but to subjugate them and deny them in a way of saying, this is not the main part of what my life is about. This is not the essence of my life. This is not what I'm here for. Something which I've only heard like in Eretz Yisrael. And I fall into this trap also. You know, in Chutz La'aretz, the first thing you ask a person is, you know, what do you do? What's your job? Meaning, what do you spend your time doing and how do you make money? You know? In Eretz Yisrael, you know, you meet people and the first thing they ask you is, how's your avodas Hashem? Halavai, we ask that more to each other in Chutz La'aretz. And we have to start asking that more to each other in Chutz La'aretz. How's your avodas Hashem doing? What are you learning these days? You know, I think we were talking about that when in the car on the way in. That, you know, when you sit somebody's house in Eretz Yisrael, you may not even know what they do for a living because like every topic comes up. Like what you do is like not the main thing. Here it's the first thing you talk about. What do I do? What's my avodas parech in Chutz La'aretz and Mitzrayim? How am I making that living? That's very much the focus. And we were talking about also. I mentioned that it could be. I never thought about it this way before. But we were schmoozing it. I thought about that. That you think about it. That in Chutz La'aretz, so often, why do people live where they live in Chutz La'aretz? I got a great job, so I moved because I moved to my job. You think about Eretz Yisrael. Why don't people talk about their jobs as much? Because people move to Eretz Yisrael and then find whatever job they can to stay in Eretz Yisrael. But the point is, it's a total flip. And it was the first time that it hit me like that. And I found that it really struck me when we were talking about it. Like I never thought about it in that way. And maybe that's part of why people don't talk about it as much, because here it's Galus is Galus, because honestly, here that's the focus. The focus is, meaning the mentality of Galus is the physicality, is the Chomriyut, is that physicality. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, the goal is Ruchnius. Nobody goes to Eretz Yisrael because like, I got a great job opportunity and I'm getting paid six times what I was paying in Chutz La'aretz and that's why I'm moving to Israel. Like nobody, if you know somebody who that's the case, please put us in touch. please put us in touch. But you know, like, meaning that it's very, very rare. Meaning the idea is like, people talk about you make sacrifices when you make Aliyah. You know, even when we were doing campus work. You know, and there's not a ton of money in campus work. It's still Rabbanus. You know, but like we had a two-story house in the basement because first of all we needed to be able to host everybody. But like we had a house and you could afford a house even on that, you know, on that salary. Baruch Hashem, they took care of us. We could afford that house. It was crazy when we were getting ready to make Aliyah. It was like, how do we gut two floors and give it away because we're moving to a one floor apartment because we're making Aliyah. You're downsizing. Everybody's got to downsize when they make Aliyah. You show up with all of your stuff. Good luck. I don't know what you're doing with everything you come with. Can't do it. You pasha can't do it. Right? You're giving up on that physicality. But the idea is what he's bringing out here is that when we go to Galus, and all of us are in Galus now, when we go to Galus, part of what it is to feel the challenge of that physicality and go through the purification process of exile, the purification process of Galus, where we do have access to all those things, and say, no, I deny that. That's not the main part of my life. I choose to commit myself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, dafka in that darkness, dafka in that physicality. I choose to make my life about ruchnius. I choose that when I have a beautiful things, I turn around and I make sure I have a beautiful break from with a beautiful candelabra where I'm putting out that my Neiro Shabbos, that's the centerpiece of my living room, is Dafka Shabbos. That when I put in and I'm buying all kinds of amazing sweet foods and whether cookies and cakes or real food like the beautiful fruit platters that are out here. What am I using it for? To give us koach, to be able to learn, to have a shir. What am I utilizing that physicality for? Am I losing myself in the physicality, or am I uplifting myself beyond the physicality? And that's daf. And the Jews have to go into Galus in order to experience that, to overcome that. That's part of what builds the Jewish people, is that we reject the physicality of Mitzrayim. And we're dafka born as a nation, walking away from Mitzrayim, the opposite of Mitzrayim, rejecting Mitzrayim. That's the first step of becoming the Jewish people that culminates 49 days later in Kabbalah's Torah at Har Sinai, is the rejection rejection of the physicality of Mitzrayim. That's what makes us who we are. And then he takes it one step deeper and he says, that is, v'nei kol inyanei hachna'ata chomer, the subjugation of the physicality, v'tarata midot, in purifying our midos, it's all taloi in the midot of Yisod. And he keeps coming back to the same piece. I didn't notice that when he was doing this, but dope, that's what we're meant to learn together. And it's very important. He says that's all dependent on this midot of Yisod. The midot of Yisod is the purity in the realm of Arayos. Let's let him go a little further. Ukadita b'sfarim b'shem haZohar HaKadosh, the sfarim bring down in the name of the Zohar HaKadosh, la petach chadat rotzveitz tapitcha degufa, that again, that sin, what it means that sin is waiting there, trying to attack us, back from Parshat Bereishit, that sin is waiting to attack us, I'm not going to explain it, I'll translate exactly literally here, but he's saying that sin is always trying to attack us in the realm of Arayos, that's dafka where it's trying to attack us. Shekol inyanei kedusha tulim b'midazo, because all kedushas depend on this, because he already talked about a lot beforehand as well. V'chein chas v'shalom lehefech, and so to the opposite. Kol inyanei tuma, all issues of tuma, nimshachim ipegam midazor, when we fail in this area. V'gam akina ha'tava v'akavod, and also jealousy, desire, honor, all the things that the Mishnah of Pirkei Avot tells us, removes us from this world. Hamotziva ta'adam min ha'olam, gam heim tulim midazor, it's all dependent upon this. We don't realize this is not an issue in Judaism. The issue of Arayos is the central issue in Judaism. That's why it's so important to talk about it and speak about it in a way that's appropriate and proper in a type of form like this. But we have to talk about it. We can't shy away from these issues, and we shy away from them too much. We need to talk about these things because this is what Kedusha is dependent upon. And this is what the struggle of life is about. This is the Iker struggle, especially, again, post-seminary, coming out, you're in the world, and starting to, whether you're in secular college, and that's just part of the reality of the struggle of daily life in secular college, whether you're in a Jewish college, and part of the struggle is as you start to get into the realm of dating by choice or against your will, as you start to get sucked into the black hole of dating, which is a necessary prerequisite to getting married, and that's a good end goal, or whether moving on, and whether it's in graduate school and you're not married yet, or whether you're in the working world, and whether you're married or not married, and you're working in a non-Jewish environment, and making sure you have gedarim there, or whether it's, you know, deciding, what do I do? Everybody after work is going out to the local bar, and do I go to the local bar and start drinking with these people who have no boundaries and arrives? Wherever your struggles are going to be, This is an issue that's relevant at every stage of life. At every stage of life, and it's the key issue. This is what everything comes down to. You know, when there were people, students have come to talk to me at different times in different stages in where I've worked and what I've been doing. And there have been times people come talk to me with it. You know, it's very, very sad. People who have been, you know, Shomer Negiah their entire lives, or people who have been Shomer Negiah since Shana Aleph or Shana Bet, and they meet somebody and it's the one, and when they're dating somebody intensely, they can end up making mistakes in Negiah. Whenever somebody comes to me and talks to me and saying that they're really down because they ended up making mistakes in this area, I always go and I just to see, because it's important for me to help them also, but also like to see if like this does in fact play out, and it plays out every time. You know, I say to them, like, by the way, like, how's your davening going? How's your learning going? And they're just like, you know, that's so interesting. Recently, I've been having a lot of trouble davening. I haven't been keeping to my siddurim either. I haven't been learning as much anymore. I'm like, wow, that's fascinating. It's like, not fascinating at all. It's this is what we're talking about. It's an incredible thing. It's really stark. Is that, again, it's something to think about in your own lives, wherever we're all holding. Any way in which we give an inch in our aisles, again, whether it's what we think about, how we talk, what we look at, what we touch, whatever it is, anywhere we give any inch we give in our aisles, it draws us away from being able to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because instead of choosing to connect to God, we're connecting to ourselves. We're connecting to that which we're not just connected to God, we're connecting beyond that also, which is really just connecting to ourselves. I'm giving into what I want and not focusing on Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm focusing on myself, selfishly on what I want, on my instant gratification. That's really what I'm focusing on. And to recognize that the main midah of being able, what he's saying here is, the ability to survive galus, the ability to go through galus and come out the other side, kadosh, and to be able to get back to the land of Kedusha, to get back to Eretz Yisrael, to get to Gan Eden, to get to Olam Haba, wherever your ultimate destination is, on whatever level it may be on. This is the key issue. And to understand, every time you hold the line in Arayos, you're committing yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saving yourself from slipping backwards in every way. And lehefech, to all of us here, every single time you do the cheshbon nefesh and you choose to take one step forward, to take a baby step forward, to move an inch forward in a commitment to Kedusha, and Davka in Chutz La'aretz, and Davka in exile, you don't even know. You'll come back to me and tell me I was right, but I can't even explain it to you. You'll come back and tell me what it was. Immediately, when you do that, a few days later, you'll be like, I don't understand. My davening's better. I don't understand. My learning's on a different level. When you make changes and commit yourself to Kedusha in that way, I can tell you from personal experience, it changes your learning. It changes your davening. It changes your clarity of mind. Why? Because you become more kadosh. What does that mean? I can't explain Kedusha. I can't tell you what it means to feel more kadosh, to feel Kedusha coming into your life. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, He promises in His Torah, you move away from Arayos, you'll be kadosh. You'll become more kadosh. And we feel, therefore, more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Dafka, in our generation, where we're reliving the realities of Mitzrayim and Chutz La'aretz, every inch you take to become more kadosh is a Herculean effort that's rewarded a thousandfold by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the response that you'll feel, in the connection that you'll feel, in the elevation in your ruchnius that you'll feel. And every single success that you make, you should be so proud of yourselves, because it's so hard in our day and age. It's so hard in the world that we live in the gullus that we live in. And every time we do that, it's a monumental success, personally, and the kedusha you feel is tremendous. And he says, everything goes along with that. That brings everything up. V'lakach, ikar hachna'at, hachomriyut v'taharat ha-midot, the main subjugation of our physicality and purifying of our midos, al yedei taharat midat yisod, specifically purifying this area. She shoresh kol ha-midot, is the source of all the midos. V'lachin b'chara kadosh baruch hu dafka Mitzrayim, that's why God chose Mitzrayim. We couldn't go to Galus anywhere else. What was going to be able to birth us to the Jewish people? It was dafka to go down to Mitzrayim. It had to be Mitzrayim. Ervat ha-aretz, ha-makom ha-garo b'yoter, the worst place that there was in Tuma. Shesham yeh makom ha-galut lach that it was there that we had to go into Golos to break down physicality, to deny physicality. Mitzrayim was the land of physicality. To deny that physicality, dafka in that place, and to purify our midos, to purify our beings, to purify ourselves on the way to Kabbalah's Torah. That in this place they would need to fight for that Kedusha. Through this, she yatsami sham, by going out of Mitzrayim, gedurim be'arayos, having successfully overcome those challenges in Arayos, that we came out kadosh v'tahor. We went in kadosh v'tahor, but unchallenged. We came out kadosh v'tahor, challenged, and that's a whole different thing. People want to say, like, well, what was the greatness of Yosef Atzadik? He never sinned. So it's easy to, he never sinned, so everything was easy for him. Then he says, no. What made Yosef Atzadik Yosef Atzadik? Not that he never sinned. That he was in Eshet Potiphar's house and alone with him and a slave with no future with a beautiful woman who desperately wanted to be with him. And he said no. It wasn't that he never sinned. It was that he dafka was in the easiest place to sin possible and rejected it. That's what makes it tzaddik. Not never being tempted and never sinning. That's a passive ovid Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bored by that. He doesn't want that. A tzaddik is somebody who dafka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sends a test their way. And despite the intensity of that challenge, reject it, commit themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and don't sin. And so they come out even more, Kadosh V'Torah, you ruim lamad Har Sinai, and therefore they deserve to be able to go to Har Sinai. We have to do one more paragraph. He's bringing it down to us now. One more paragraph, and then we'll stop. We can enter. Can't promise them. Can't promise them. V'zegam, so anybody who's got to go, you've succeeded. 45 minutes of learning Torah Motzei Shabbos is amazing. If you need to go, don't feel trapped. But not how could you leave? V'zegam aderech, he says. V'zegam aderech l'chol yachid lagia liyudo. He says this is how each and every one of us are meant to get to our destinies. Every single one of us. Ulibchinat mamar har sinah hapati shelo. And how every single one of us, every single one of us in this exile that we're in, how we get to our own personal Kabbalah Satorah, how we get to our own personal Har Sinai. This is the way. This is the derech. How we deserve to be connected to the chosen people. That we're not just Jewish because we were born to Jewish parents. Like I said before, it's not, God's not impressed by passively being Jewish. God's not even impressed by passively being from. That's not impressive. Being from because everybody around you is from. If your parent is a Rosh Hashiva and you were born in the Beis Medrash and you had your Bris Milah in the Beis Medrash and you had your Chalukah in the Beis Medrash and you had your Bar Mitzvah in the Beis Medrash and your Chuppah was in the Beis Medrash and you had your kids' brises in the Beis Medrash and you had your eulogy in the Beis Medrash. So what did you do? And it's not a bad thing. It's an incredible opportunity. But the point is, did that person fight for Torah? Did they fight if they were born into that privilege of Ruchnius? What challenges did they overcome? Did they passively ride the wave? Or because of that, did they fight to be so incredibly more spiritually charged because they were born into that environment and did not have the challenges? Or were they never bent to, and he said, the Messiah says it's black and white. Did they ask themselves the question, and it could be, were they never supposed to be in the Beis Medrash at all, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had them born there in order to learn from the Beis Medrash to go out into the world and accomplish something in the world that they never did, because they just wanted to take the easy route, because they were already living in the Beis Medrash, they wanted to stay there, even though God had other plans for them, to dafka take that Kedusha, take that Torah, and bring it to the world, and did not live up to their potential by staying in the Beis Medrash. We're born, the beautiful line that's often said is that Judaism has a whole different understanding. We're not here to be, we're here to become. That's what Judaism believes. There's no free rides in Judaism, not even if you're in the Beis Medrash. We're not here to be, we're here to become. And being a Jew doesn't just mean being born to Jewish parents, but it means to be El Yehudi B'chol Mi'uto, it means to be a Jew at every level of my being. Shekol Ramach Ravish Zagidav Hima Yehudim, that every single part of my body is Jewish. That I mamish tovel in the mikvah of Judaism every part of my body and make it Jewish. I make it real. I need to subjugate my physicality. If I'm not challenged, if I don't go and fight to be from, if I don't fight to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what it means to really be Jewish. That's what it means to really be an Eved Hashem, an Oved Hashem. He calls man shakua bechomer, that as long as I'm still a physical being, harei afilu im osek b'torah b'vodas Hashem, even if I'm learning Torah, even knowing b'vodas Hashem, eno mesugal liot liudo hazeh, we haven't fulfilled our destiny. If I live my whole life serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I didn't purify my physical being, I didn't fight that fight to be challenged, not to look for the challenge, but to make sure that I'm fulfilling my purpose in this world, to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do in this world despite its challenges, and to dafka overcome those challenges. That's the goal. That's what it means to become a Jew, not just to be a Jew, but to become a Jew. And when it comes to purifying and subjugating our physicality, there's the lower levels, the secondary levels, the third levels. There's Tarat HaMoach, purifying the mind. Sheyeh Moach Yudi, that my mind should be a Jewish mind. Then when I go and I'm going to, if you're in secular college, you're in graduate school, you're in life, I'm going to my secular college classes. Am I purifying my mind? And even when I hear something that goes against Judaism, I either reject it or do the diligence that's required to figure out how it fits within a true context of Judaism, if it does. But if it does, don't just reject it because it's important, it's real. So understand how it fits within a true Ashkaf of Judaism, that I purify my mind. Purify my mind on the level of also what I look at, what I watch, what I think about, keeping negative images and negative thoughts and appropriate thoughts out of my mind. Purify my mind in terms of my hashkafot, in terms of its purity, in terms of its cleanliness. On all levels, that's my mind. Alidei tarata machshavot vadeot, v'tarata lev, and purifying my heart. Alidei tarata ritznot v'tukot alev, that I purify my heart, that's the next level. Am I purifying my heart, that my desires, that I know that I desire physicality, I desire things that are usher, that I purify myself, that I'm getting down to transform my very desires themselves, that I desire ruchnius, that I desire kedusha, that I desire, that's what I'm looking for in life. To yes, overcome that, but that's, I have to go through that challenge in order to get there. And even purify my physical body itself. To purify my actions. That I purify every level of my being, my mind, my heart, my desires, my body. I go through all of those challenges to purify all of those things and elevate them and dedicate them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we're here. That's why we're Olam Hazeh. That's what we're here to do, is to purify every level of being. Top of the next page. To purify every aspect of our physicality. That's how we fulfill our purpose in this world. And again, I already referenced other pieces where he gets into that even more. That's how we truly fulfill our purpose in this world. It's not by... Again, it doesn't mean chas v'shalom to like, it's like, okay, I need to find a person in this world. Like, so tomorrow I'm going to go to a totally tame party with guys and girls. And I'm going to deny. No, don't do that. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is be tahor, be kadosh, make the right choices. But if you see something that you need to do, if you understand deep down, you know what you were born to do. You know what you were meant to do. To hide in the base medrash, to hide in shul, to deny your purpose in being here, because it's scary to be challenged, that's not really living life. And people can do that, and people do that. But the idea is not to hide from that, not to look for the challenge, chas v'shalom. We learned that from David HaMelech, right? David HaMelech said, give me a challenge, I want to get close to you. And Kadosh Baruch Hu was like, great, here's Batsheva, good luck. Meaning like, and we learned from that, the Chazal bring that out, that chas v'shalom, you never ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for a challenge, that's not what he's saying to do. But to recognize, first of all, I'm sure we all have challenges in whatever part of life we're in. Pretty confident of that. But even if we're not, that when we go and we see that we have something that we need to do in this world, to dafka go and not deny that, to not go against that. If I know that I'm here because I'm meant to at this point in time, to help my fellow Jews overcome anti-Semitism, as hard as it may be, for now. Whether I'm here in order and I'm doing in this world, and I'm meant to go and I'm meant to be a doctor, and yes, it's dealing with literally the body all day, but I'm focused on saving lives. I'm focused on bringing health to the world on a physical level. Whether I need to go out and whatever my tafkid in this world is, I'm meant to go out and go into finance and be a kiddush Hashem in finance and also support Torah institutions and to support Avodat Hashem and support Batei Knesiot, whatever the case may be. Not to deny that, to recognize that. I had a friend of mine, I mentioned him every once in a while, I should mention him more. I love him dearly. We're totally not in touch anymore, except for like once a year by Rosh Hashanah time. I love him dearly, though. I still consider him a very good friend, and Baruch Hashem, he's still in touch with me. It's just that he's in touch with me. I still annoy him that I'm in touch with him. And he from when he was in college, I remember, he said, I am going to finance, and it's going to be hard, and I'm going to make a lot of money because this is my tafkid in life, is to be a wealthy balabas and to show whatever community or shul that I'm in that you can succeed in business and succeed in this world and be fully committed to Avodah Hashem every single minute by doing it and every single moment beyond it. And he was head of his shul and he gave tons of money and he's learning and that was what he wanted and he's living the dream. And living the dream meant, in the beginning of finance, working like, I don't know what they work like, it's like 18-hour days, like at the beginning of finance, like Mahmoud Gain says, he was at my wedding. At my wedding, I gave him, sorry if you're listening, he's not. I gave him eight yichud. I wanted to give him a bigger cover, but I gave him eight yichud. Why? I was like, he'll be there by the chuppah. My backup did eight yichud for him. He didn't make it for the chuppah, but he made it for the wedding. He just couldn't. Whenever he could be there, he could be there. But he put in the work, and he was dead to the, but he learned, and he was dedicated to the whole way. But that he knew that was his tikkun. What could he have done? He could have just done base medrash. But he knew that's what he was here for. And if somebody knows that their job in life is to be in base medrash, great. You better know for sure that that's your job and you better live up to it. You better put in his kind of hours. If the first few years that you're in base medrash, if you're a guy in base medrash and you're learning base medrash, if you're doing that, if you're not working as hard as he was working in his first years of finance, then you're kidding yourself. You're telling me you're belonging in Kolel? Great. Work like he works in your first few years of Kolel. Then I'll believe you. And there are people who do, and that's for real, and that's fine. And I think that's amazing, Baruch Hashem. There are people who are out there who do that. I couldn't do that. That's not my tafkid, right? Baruch Hashem, people who do that. But don't use it as a place to hide. To hide from your purpose. That's what we become. We are. We're here for a purpose, to know figure out what our purpose is, find what our purpose is, and live up to that purpose. That's included in what it says that he lived there for 17 years. The Torah is the Torah of life. It's not just coming to tell us, it's not just a history book. Everything that happened, it is true, but it's not a history book. The goal of the Torah is to teach us what does it mean to live in this world. How do I live in this world as a spiritual being? That is teaching us, is hinting to what it means when the neshama comes down to the body. When it comes from the highest of places, to the lowest of places inside my physical body. It comes from the highest of places, to come down into this physical lowly world of desire, of taiva. This is what it means that Yaakov went to Mitzrayim. Sheikar matarata, that the main goal here, l'taken u'lizakechet inaneya ta'avot, was to purify, taiva, purify that desire. Shenafsho shel adam mitchamdan, all the things that we want in this world, all the physical desires we have in this world, shatikun agamor, that the main tikkun that comes out, l'pekamim shel ra, to fix the ra in this world, hu lehafoch et ha-ra l'tov, to overturn, to turn the ra into tov. To dafka, turn the ra into tov. To go into a place, to go into gullus, into that darkness, into a place of ra. And yes, make a shir. And yes, learn on a motzei Shabbos. And yes, bring Torah learning and ruchnius and tefillah to your communities and to your student communities and the communities that you're living in. And yes, to go, and if you're not somebody who's a student, who's a leader in that way, a student leader in that way, a community leader in that way, to go and say, no, but I'm an Ovedet Hashem. And to bring your ruchnius to the Beit Knesset and to Davin and Shul. To bring your ruchnius to the Beis Medrash and have a chavrusa, even a virtual chavrusa. To go and have a chavrusa, to have a chavrusa and to learn with your chavrusa and to make sure that you're bringing Torah to the place that you're in. To be ofeich the ra letov. Bifchinat omro tzadik ki tov, ki prima lalihem yochelu. Tov. Wow, I haven't gone over an hour in a while. I apologize to you listening. I apologize to you guys who are here. It doesn't matter now because nobody ever listens to a show that's over an hour long on Y.U. Torah anyway. So I don't know what I'm talking to at this point. But to wrap up here, right over the hour mark. But for all of us, Rosh Hashem, it was to take this in this message that, you know, Yaakov Avinu goes down here to Mitzrayim in this parsha. He lives there 17 years. However long we're in Mitzrayim, whether it's the Tov, the 17 years of Yaakov Avinu, Bezrat Hashem, it should be shorter by all of us. By all of you, it should be shorter. Looking back to going forward, back as soon as humanly possible. But when all of us, Bezrat Hashem, to get back to Eretz Yisrael, but while the time that we're here for a reason. We're here for a reason. We're becoming in Chutz La'aretz. And that means that we have to eventually become that thing and get back to Eretz Yisrael. But we're here to become. And we're here to overcome those challenges. And that's part of the life of a Jew, is to overcome those challenges. And every single one of us, every single one of you, every moment that you overcome the challenges of exile, the challenges of the physicality of exile, and specifically those challenges in the realms of Arayos, and especially in the years that you're in, of predating, dating, and working to get married, and then getting married, dafka in those years especially, but also for the rest of your lives, of our lives, that we overcome those things, that's what makes us Jews, is overcoming those challenges in Dafkan Golas, and that's what makes us Jews in the sense of Atem Tiuli Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. We're meant to be a holy people, and that's what makes us a holy people. That's how we don't, not just how we're born into Am Yisrael, but how we then choose to Dafka become part of Am Yisrael, despite the fact that we were born into it. Mishrachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us to be able to recognize our challenges, overcome our challenges in all levels, and particularly in the areas of Arayos, to overcome those challenges, to succeed in those challenges, succeed in the challenges of exile, and to all see us be able through that to return to Eretz Yisrael in the Gula itself, and see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the return to Gula, B'shachem, Mihar B'yameinu.